On Sunday afternoons, we've been heading the direction of the English Bible and to deal with that subject, a great subject that it is. And as I look to embark upon the details about the course of all that, it's kind of daunting. I'll do the best that I can with it. But as a foundation, we just want to be reminded about the Word of God, that it has been spoken by Him. It is God-breathed, inspired by the Lord, by the Spirit of God and His men, 40 men over the course of 1,600 years, the Lord took and put His Word together. His Word is pure and it is true. His Word is eternal. It's settled and solid. It is indeed a foundation upon which a life can be built. And the message of that, and not speaking about the Word of God from the standpoint of a work salvation, but to hear the Word of the Lord. And that sinners like you and I, sinners like us, need to be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ and come to the Father in repentance and come to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith in Him. His gospel, His death, burial, and resurrection for the salvation of our souls. It's from there that we can have life, from Him that we can have life, life eternal, and a life it was beyond and above this physical life. We can have help for the balance of the physical life that we have. And what a blessing that is to not go through life alone, but then have eternal life, to live with the Lord through eternity. 10,000 years, we sing, it'll just be like day one. That's the way it'll be with the Lord. And so, and the wondrous things that He has in store for us, some that the Scripture tells us about, and so much more that we just don't even know about. But I tell you what, it'll all be good and be a blessing. Another point that we want to take a look at and invite you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 10 is we need the Lord's Word. It is God-breathed. It is pure. It is true. It is eternal. And it has been given because you and I need the Word of God. In Romans chapter 10, a misused passage. This passage is used, as I like to say it, as an incantation unto salvation. And it's not an incantation unto salvation. It is the way of salvation. The Lord revealing and telling us about the different steps and things that He uses, starting with sending and calling those to carry His Word. Brother Mark has been teaching on the book of Acts about the first church. And how this morning it touched upon how that first church was scattered. Some stayed in Jerusalem, and some were scattered abroad. And they are the, we all, you know, the preaching of the gospel, the telling, the proclamation of the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ is not just for preachers, pastors, deacons, and Sunday school teachers. It's for all of us. Because I noted that this morning, Brother Mark, that they, pardon me, the people, those members went forth telling it. They all went forth telling it in the place and the office that they had. You know, there are some brethren that believe it's just the pastor's business. And that's wrong. Don't buy into that. That it's just the ordained men's business. That's not so. It's all of our business. And we need to engage the world that we have, those that the Lord has put in our lives. And so here, in this reverse order of how the Lord takes His Word and brings it to sinners, okay, and He starts off in verse number 12, just this portion of the thought, the Lord is rich unto all that call upon Him. Call upon Him for what, Brother Jim? For help, for rescue, for salvation, for forgiveness. He's rich to them. And He said, and it says there in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's right out of the book of Joel, where we're looking at on Wednesday nights. It's a prophecy. And so it's visited again here in the New Testament, in this book of Romans in chapter 10. And so then he goes on, he says, well, how can they call? They've got to believe first. And so there's an order of things in the way that it's broken down on from the standpoint of where you and I live. Okay? How can they call unless they believe? You know, if your house gets on fire and you call the fire department, why are you calling the fire department? Because you believe they're going to come and help. Otherwise, you would say, well, no sense in calling the fire department. They never come anyway. Same kind of thing. Okay? We've got to believe. Okay? And then to believe, you've got to hear. And that's a wondrous thing in the working of the Lord, too, about how somebody is brought from not caring to caring about their soul, about their sin, about Christ. How should they hear without a preacher? Well, preachers have got to take up that work to go preach. Well, no, preachers are sent. Folks with a message, with the message of God, the message of the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus are sent. And that's where we are at here in the Olmsted Baptist Church. And then another reference here, I believe, out of Psalms about the beautiful feet of those that bring the gospel of peace, bring glad tidings of good things. And so then Isaiah is dealt with here, but they have not all obeyed the gospel, and we know that's so. There was a time we didn't obey the gospel, but then, thank God, there was a time that we did obey the gospel, hear the message, believe it. It became, by the power of God, it became the most important thing in our existence to deal with the Lord and to hear what He said and believe and trust in Him and what He's done through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Isaiah spoke about that, who hath believed our report. So then faith, verse number 17, cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So first off, you and I, mankind needs the Word of God, because it's by the Word of God that a person will be able to hear. Without the Word of God, there will be no hearing. Now, I'm not talking about hearing with the physical ear. I'm talking about hearing with the spiritual ear. There is no hearing apart from the Word of God. There's no hearing unto salvation of the soul without the Word of God. And then there is no faith without hearing. And so, we understand that the deaf can be saved, right? The deaf can be saved. So it's not speaking about physical hearing, although that is the mechanical means by which the Word of God comes to us typically and gets in our hearts and our souls and our minds. And the Spirit uses that. But the deaf can hear too, can't they? And the means that have been developed, or the means that is accommodated by their families, their children born deaf, that they're raised up, they develop a way of communication, or there are organized means of communication. There's a way to hear with the heart and with the soul. Without the Word of God, there'll be no hearing. There'll be no faith. We've got to hear what the message is. And so we need the Lord's Word. In Psalm 119, which is an excellent passage, we've already referred to it a few times about what Psalm 119 tells about the Word of God, and in regards to its purity and its truth. Here is a good one. I tell you what, this is had in looking towards the message here this afternoon, had these thoughts, and that'll maybe help this ring a bell even greater to us. In Psalm 119, verse number 105, Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp to my feet, unto my feet, and a light unto my path. So we're walking, and if you go out in your yard or on your property at night, and when I do so around here, you know, if you're near a sinkhole, there's going to be other sinkholes. And some of them bigger, some of them smaller. And so it pays around here to watch where you're walking. Okay? Well, if it's dark, you can't see. What is it that we want to do? If we want to be sure about our steps, we get a light, get a flashlight. I know a fella that years ago waged war on skunks, and he had a big old light that would light up the night because he wanted to be able to see where to deal with the skunks. I just happened to think of that. Well, we got the place where we walk right up here close, but then the path. We need to light up where our next step is, but we need to light up the way and direction that we're going. Did you know that they put headlights on vehicles? Sure, we know that. Why? Can you imagine having a vehicle that didn't have any headlights? You'd be okay during the day. But when the sun started setting, or was in the dead of the night, it'd be hard to drive, wouldn't it? And because of our headlights, allows us to go even at the speed that we would travel at during the day. Maybe some even faster. I don't know. But we need headlights. They put headlights on cars so we can see out there. I was thinking, you ladies that sew, do you want to sew in the dark? The more intricate the work, the more light you need. Want to do a good job? Don't want to sew your finger in there. Don't want to get off course. Do you know they put lights on sewing machines? So we can see. What else do they use lights for? Tell you what, how would you like the dentist to work on you without light? I don't like the dentist or the dental hygienist. I don't like them working on me to start with. But I tell you what, it'd be even worse without light, wouldn't it? Boy, that light they put there is right bright, isn't it? I think it's kind of to stun you, keep you in your place. A surgeon. We've all seen how the orthoscopic surgeons, or the surgeons that work on tendons. You know, a surgeon that works on the hand has got to be very, very skilled, very, very coordinated, and they have those binocular glasses so they can see. It's magnified. How'd you like them to work on your hand or work on something very tiny? How'd you like a brain surgeon to work on your brain without light? Need to have light, don't we? Need to have light. Got to have lighting to be able to, you know, the ladies would not like it for us to finish up the kitchen project if we worked on it without light. Things wouldn't be too level, square, or whatever. We need light. We need light to see what's up here close. We need this light to see out what's ahead. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It's light right up here close for the next step. And a light unto my path. It shows us the way out there before, doesn't it? It shows us the path, and you and I, we who are saved, the child of God, is on the narrow way of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the light, so there's a path, if you will, you know, just using the terminology of the Scriptures, there is a path that is lighted for us, because Jesus is the light. Isn't that something? It's hard to see in the darkness. There's confusion in the darkness. But with light, it's clear, isn't it? Some of our membership has had cataract surgery. And they say, oh my, I didn't know everything was getting so fuzzy and so dark at night until they got them out of there, gave me a new clear lens so the light could come through crisply and sharp. Isn't that something? And so it is with the Word of God. And we need the Word of God for that light. The Lord Jesus praying in John chapter 17, praying for His disciples, praying even for us, which is just a wondrous thing. He prays for them that would believe on Him through their Word. There's the witness that is there. And it wasn't just the apostles that He was praying for, but that flock that He had there in Jerusalem, that first church. He says here, He prays unto the Father in John 17:17. He prays here, sanctify them. That word sanctification, sanctify, means a setting apart. the making of a difference, a specialness. Now, we love our children here in the church. We want good for all children that's in our community in that. But it's just a fact of the matter. What children do you love the most? Those that are yours. The Lord's the same way. He wants us set apart unto Him. His calling, His will, His word. And He says here, He prays unto the Father, sanctify them through Thy truth. So by the truth, we will be set apart. As we preached about this morning, about how it is the best way to show that we believe is by obedience. The Lord has given us His word and what He's commanded us to do to obey Him and follow Him in. And that's how we show we love Him, is we hear what He says and we do it. And you know what? It's by that, our love for Him manifested, our love one for another, our love for sinners manifested. Have you ever had somebody that you've looked to engage, been kind to, tried to talk to them about the need of their soul, about the burdens of their life, about trying to be a help and encouragement at the least, or again, speaking to them about their soul and their need of their soul, and they would say to you, why do you care about me? Have you ever had anybody say that to you? Why are you being nice to me? Because maybe they live in their life, there's no one nice to them. But we show that kindness. We show that genuine concern for their soul, for their life. By being so, by being the Lord Jesus, by being pitiful, by being compassionate, and I don't mean pitiful in a condescending way, but to see that there's a hurt, to see that there's a need, to see that there is a soul that needs to be saved. By obeying the Lord and having an interest that way, the way the Lord had an interest in us, we are set apart from others. And it's by the truth. I mean, what soul is not valuable? What soul doesn't need to be saved? No matter how haywire their life may be, no matter how much confusion that they have of the world and of Satan and of man's depravity that they have taken and bit off and followed after, that soul is still of greatest value. And just in one example, we are set apart by following the truth of that. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. Where is the truth found? Well, you're not going to find it in the writings of men unless they've been influenced by the Word of God. That's where the truth is. That's the reason that our nation and our culture in this world is just in following after madness as it is, because the truth has been got away from the truth. And the Word of God, we need the Word of God to know the truth. We're living in a day, we're seeing it in a day that where it was talked about earlier in our lives, now we are in the midst of living this, that there is no truth. That everything is relative. But it's not that way, is it? And we know it's not that way, and it's a blessing to know it's not that way, by the Word of God. And so the Word of God is essential, and we need it indeed. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, Brother Paul writing to this young pastor, and he is encouraging him in the work that the Lord has called him into. And he declares unto him to remember about the judgment of the Lord, that he, Timothy, is facing. Verse number 1, I charge thee therefore, 2 Timothy 4:1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead. The quick is we who are saved. The dead is the unsaved, unrepentant, unbelieving, at his appearing in his kingdom. He says to this preacher, this pastor, preach the word. That's what we've been given to preach. Brother Stephen, that's what you've been given to preach, is to preach the word of God, not our opinion, and always be forthright. Sometimes we end up in situations where we do give our opinion, we do give our supposition. Always need to be clear that that's the case. We try to understand and put together all in the word of God that we can. But it's what God has said. It's not what Jim Duke believes or what Jim Duke thinks that matters. It's what the Lord believes and what the Lord thinks. And we need to preach that word. It's the only way that sinners can be helped. It's the only way that the people of God can be helped, is by the word of God. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. This being instant, it's kind of like I spoke there at our break in between about this that we're looking to do for the young folks during the course of the summer. We might get you might get pushback on some of the things that we would bring forth if we would have any guests or such as that. You know, the being instant in season is, you know, you got a class, you know, you got the material to study for, and you know what you're going to deliver. Out of season would be is when you would get something unexpected. We always need to be praying that the Lord would always give us a good answer from his word. When we're caught off guard, are we prepared? Are we filled with the word of God? Tell you what, our reliance is upon the Lord to give us the thinking and to use what's in us to be able to give an answer at those instants that it's just foisted upon us. And understand, it may be that an instant like that would come upon you and come upon you quickly and you wouldn't have an answer. But use that occasion to say, Lord, help me next time to have an answer. Or say, let me get back with you and I'll give you an answer on that. You understand what I'm saying? It's one thing to be prepared for something we know is going to happen. Like myself preaching messages today, a teacher teaching their class today. It's another thing to have an answer when it's just right off the cuff, unexpected, instant in season and out of season. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And so here, the continued thought, reprove. Again, that reproving is when we see, I see that as being, when we see one heading for danger and disaster, said, no, 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 don't go that way. Don't go there. When you get there, that's going to be bad. Rebuke. Rebuke is when we've caught our child and they're in the midst of it. They've done, got flat out in the midst of it, and it's over. They're guilty. You know, the Lord says, leave that alone. Reprove, rebuke. What's it goes on to say? Exhort. That's the warning beforehand. Don't even go that way. Danger, danger, danger. Don't even go that way with all longsuffering and doctrine. We can have a tendency to think that one time is enough. But it's just the way with people. Telling one time is not enough. When my children were little, I just thought one time was enough. But I did not remember about myself that it took 1,000 times and I still didn't get it. Well, you know what the Lord does? He just keeps telling us and 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 telling us. Aren't you thankful? And granted, there's an aspect that the Lord tells us in the Scriptures that he gets to a point with nations and with people that he just says, that's it. But think about in our own lives how much the Lord just keeps telling us and 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 telling us. He is long-suffering, isn't he? And so that's what we need to do. And there's a balance in there from the standpoint of parents with children. that there comes a time that you've got to go ahead and deal with the subject. The Lord tells us about that and that correction there. He tells the pastor here, do these things with the Word of God and do so with long-suffering. Put it in front of the people. Put it in front of the people what God has said, not what you think, and teach them. Long-suffering and doctrine. Teaching. A practical thing. There are doctrines that we need to know out of the Word of God that cause us to worship the Lord and glorify the Lord, give us assurance of the Lord and of His power and His ability. And those things are good, but we very much need over and over and over again the practical things of life and living. And as your pastor, that's what I want to be given to you, because we need to know how to live. We're going to be judged as His children by how we lived and what we did with what He gave us to do. And so we need the Word of God for that. In 2 Peter chapter 1, Brother Peter here speaking about the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit of God. We need the Lord's Word because we need to know how to live. And this more sure word of prophecy, I think, is telling about the coming of the Scripture. And as we talked about early this morning from Brother Bobby's devotion, how there is an element of the Word of God being delivered and God dealing with mankind and giving His Word and His Scripture, that there's a maturing in that that's happened in regards to the Word of God over time. And we need to know the Word of God so we can take heed to the Word of God. Because that's what God has spoken, not just to speak and say, okay, there it is, y'all have at it, whatever you want to do. He's spoken because He expects us to hear. He's done that from the beginning. Adam, don't eat of the tree in the midst of the garden. And with there is an element there that once was enough with Adam, from what the Lord said. And that's the way it's been from the beginning. God has spoken. He expects us to believe Him, to heed it, to hear it, and to obey it. Because this isn't a word that was spoken by men. Oh, men were used. This is not a word that came about. You know, you've heard that about the Bible being just a bunch of writings of old white men that they put together to make their own religion. I mean, it's nonsensical to start with, because how do you keep an effort like that going over 1,600 years? But anyway, it's not by men contriving a religion, but it's by the Spirit of God speaking through these men with purpose, for a purpose, that we might know what God thinks and what God believes about mankind and how we should do, and about His children and how we should operate and do, who He is and how we should worship Him by knowing more about Him, and to heed what God has said. Not to deal with God and the speaking of His Word like Charlie Brown's school teacher. Wah, 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 wah. Yeah, I hear him talking, but I don't give a lick what's being said. No, that's not it. We need the Word of God. We need the Word of God to hear and to have faith. We need the Word of God as that light for our near step and the path that lies ahead. We need that Word to be sanctified by the truth that is only the Lord's. It is by the Word of God that the people of God are fed, helped, corrected, directed, exhorted. And it's the Word of God that is coming to us by the power of the Lord, by the power of the Spirit of God. And it says there in verse number 20 of 2 Peter chapter 1, the prophecy of the Scripture, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. It doesn't mean, the Word of God doesn't mean what I say it means. It doesn't mean what you say it means. It means what God has said that it means. And that's the reason that we look to take great care in understanding what the Word of God says. And we have this that we say and we look to follow. Let Scripture interpret Scripture. You can't ever take a subject and ignore any passage that has to do with that subject. They've all got to be brought in. All got to be brought in. There's been much error that has been promoted and invented by just taking one passage and wearing it out, so to speak. We've got to take all in there together that we might understand what the Lord has given unto us. So we need the Lord's Word. As His children, we need it. We need it for life and living and for understanding how to walk with our Lord on the narrow way. If you're here and you're not saved, you need His Word too, that you might know the way of salvation. You might know about your need and your terrible situation and condition. But there is help. There is rescue. It's by the Word of God that sinners find out that there is help and hope through our Lord Jesus Christ. And may the Lord help us to value His Word. In our day, our country, the time of life, we've got all the Word of God. There's nothing else coming down the pike. This is it. We've got it all. We live at a time when it's all... Can you imagine living in a time where there's just like 9 books? Wouldn't that be something? I mean, that would just... We can't imagine that. It would be enough for that time. We've got it all, and may we heed it, may we obey it, may we value it. And you that are here and not saved, may the Lord help you to see that you need this very Word. You need the one about whom the Word is, the Lord Jesus Christ.